From DavidRenicky.com, it's the man who knows everything about space. Welcome, David.
You are too kind, Bilko. Good to be on the show again.
Fantastic. What is this? NASA's found some moon rocks and they've been sealed for how long and they want to open them?
They've been sealed for 50 years, believe it or not. We didn't know this. Nobody knew about this. Well, I didn't. This year marks the 50th anniversary of the Apollo landing, as we know. Now, in 1969, they brought back, in that period from 1972... Well, to 1972, when they left there, 842 pounds of rocks came back. That's a lot. Now, a lot of these were sort of siphoned out to heads of state, politicians in general, put in our museums and schools. There were a lot of these moon rocks distributed freely.
So they didn't study every single one of them. They were souvenirs more than anything else.
Yeah, they were. But a lot of the rocks were studied, and they had little question marks in there. There were things in the moon rocks that nobody knew about. There were little glass beading, little bits of glass beads that were formed when the lava coming out from underneath the moon, when it froze in the cold lunar atmosphere, formed these little tiny crystals. Now, in those years, in the early 70s, we didn't have the technology to really have a look at those in detail. So what they did, NASA put three of those in cryogenic suspension, minus 20 degrees Celsius, within a month of coming back from the moon, and they've been in storage ever since.
Wow.
NASA announced this week they're going to reveal these to the world later in the year. They're going to have them looked at now. Well, they were put aside for a time when more advanced technology would allow scientists to delve deeper into these mysteries.
So they might find some fossils, maybe?
We don't know. University of Arizona's Lunar Division are doing this, and these are little yellow and orange and green glass beads that were found in there. Only said very tiny, and there's some little parts in there too about the size of a thickness of a human hair they want to examine. So using new technology, electron microscopes, of course, and spectroscopy, we might learn a little bit more about what's in those moon rocks than we originally thought.
Well, I'm putting my hand up for one of them.
Oh, I want one. Yeah, it wouldn't be too bad. It'd be nice, would it? Anyway, we're learning more and more as we go, but three moon rocks that have never seen the light of day will soon be examined in detail.
More at davidrenicky.com, and Stephen Hawking's being honoured. I love this story.
Oh, what a great story. The UK Mint have now honoured Professor Hawking in a very unique way. I don't know who's ever had this given to them, this accolade, but it's usually reserved for, you know, heads of state or something like that, kings and queens. They're featuring, in honour of Hawking, they've got a commemorative coin they've just printed now, worth about £8, British pounds. They have three concentric circles, I think it's three of them, representing a black hole. Smaller and smaller as they go, representing what a black hole would look like.
Yeah.
If you draw a series of circles and spun down, like a wormhole. It looks pretty awesome, and of course he died last year. And this is just to commemorate him, his work, and the amount of interest he brought to the subject. And you can't take that away from him. He popularized astronomy and cosmology more so than most, including people like Carl Sagan.
Well, that History of the Universe book is something I'm reading at the moment, and it's heady stuff. Even for me, I'm finding it a bit tough, but I'm hanging in there, David.
Well, that's the one that people have trouble with, yeah. He's best remembered, I think, in the mainstream in society by that very easy-to-read, hard-to-understand book called The Brief History of Time. So,
you know,
if you get through that, you want to go and take up a college degree because it's not an easy book to digest.
I can't handle doing 1,000-word or 3,000-word essays, David. They doomed me years ago. Now, Australia's involved with this, what do they call it, the SCAR or SKA Observatory Project. What's this?
Yeah. SKA means Square Kilometre Array.
Okay.
This is a telescope being put together in Western Australia. The idea behind this is to study things like gravitational waves, look at fast radio bursts, map the galaxies in detail, and looking for signs of life. Now, our component here will be the world's most sensitive low-frequency radio telescope. 130 antennae, little antennae spread all the way across remote Western Australia and into South Africa. The government's put $290 million into this over 10 years, and we're part of that. We're going to employ people here. The benefit is a spin-off of over $1 billion worth of contract.
God.
That could come into our country here around 2020. The Square Kilometre Ray Telescope has been signed in by us as a partner with China, Italy, Netherlands, Portugal, South Africa and the United Kingdom. So in the desert area there, near Murchison, I think, in Western Australia, in the next couple of years, they're going to turn this telescope array on. And where the square kilometre array comes in, if you put all of those little dishes together collectively, you would have one big dish of a square kilometre.
That's
in area.
And of course,
it's a pretty big telescope.
SKA, that's where they get the name from.
Yeah, and with this radio telescope, okay, we're going to have the biggest year in history. We have never, ever been able to probe the universe in a way that this will do. This is going to seek out, in the radio spectrum, any signs of life out there. So if ET is on any one of any planets within maybe 100, 200, or 300 light years from here, and there's a lot of planets candidates in that spot. Mm. If ET is out there and he's making any sort of a noise, we'll hear him. If he's communicating amongst himself or with other people in his vicinity, we're going to hear that. If he's got a radio on in the kitchen, we'll pick him up. So we're about to answer that age-old question, and it may come from this radio telescope in Western Australia. It may come, the age-old question, are we alone in the universe?
We may pick up their version of the Demtel Man and those steak knives.
As long as they're not reruns of I Love Lucy or Married at First Sight.
Wouldn't it be interesting to see what sort of entertainment they've got in another culture, another planet, like their comedy?
That's it. Yeah. Imagine meeting somebody from another planet.
Would they understand Lucy? Would they understand Buck Rogers?
We don't know. But if you could communicate with an alien civilization that's in any way in an advanced state, imagine what you could learn. Wouldn't it be interesting? They've never heard of the things that we've got or heard of the things that we do, know nothing about what they... And they may have a technology there that's completely, you know, futuristic to us. Mm. You could learn a lot in a very short amount of time. Oh. That's the whole idea behind it. The interchange of information would be good. Look, if we did, and I know this is speculation, and I do tend to do that time to time, but it's not outside the bounds of possibility that if we did come across a civilization that was in front of us technologically, and they'd learned to live with each other, abolished wars, let's hope, looking at a, you know, utopian situation here, of course, but let's say we did, you may be able to get the cure for cancer overnight, leukemia. They may be able to show us techniques of medical techniques we never even heard of before. There may be things that we could answer about the universe that we're still probing, that we could be told. You know, these things are possible. There's got to be other people out there. And that's what this radio telescope's all about.
But I think we'd have to apologise for the Kardashians to anyone in the universe, though.
We
David.
Would, and Married at First Sight. Yeah. But listen, you know, I mean, the whole idea, if anyone is out there and they are sending a signal out and they're communicating in any one of many millions of wavelengths, this telescope is going to pick them up.
Mm. Now, look, with Elon Musk and Branson doing their thing, why are NASA bothering with this space launch system? You got a story on davidrenicki.com where it's just not working.
This is a sad story. Yeah. Look, NASA are lost in space, honestly. This is a really, really ridiculous thing. Here they went and built the space launch system. They put this together about 5 years ago.
Right.
Intending to get back into space with the biggest rocket ever built. This is before Musk came along with his BFR. Now, the Americans have got this concept of building this huge rocket. I went there last year and had a look at this. I stood under the gantry where it's going to be launched. And it is absolutely huge. It's going to be massive. But the problem with this is they're over budget. Now, they've just had their budget cut by the Trump administration.
Yeah.
Jim Bridenstine's the administrator for NASA. He's come out now saying they're going to have trouble meeting their launch date of 2019. That's this year. They haven't even got that far enough to build this rocket yet.
Yeah.
So even 2020 or 2022 is out of the question. The point of the fact of the matter is this, that Elon Musk has come along and said, what are you doing? He said, I'm working with you. Why don't you shelve this thing? It's already cost you multiple billions of dollars so far. Why keep putting good money into bad when I can do it quicker, cheaper, better and faster?
I think that's the problem, David, is that they're putting expectations out of their sponsors. We'll have it ready by this date. They come up with problems, keep getting set back. And with, you know, in the commercial world, you need to follow deadlines. If he kept quiet about that and launched when he was ready, he'd have something close to perfection, you would hope.
Well, NASA doesn't exist anymore. I think they're going to have to keep going with private enterprise. Their grasp has exceeded their reach.
unfortunately.
Or the other way around, is it?
I know what you mean.
Their reach is they won't be able to achieve what they want to do. And I think it's a sad reflection on the way that this administration is going. NASA need now to collectively look at what they've got. They've had some really, really past glories, but I think time now has come where they've got to sit back a bit and pass the baton over to other people. And those other people is private enterprise.
Yeah.
Musk is working with NASA. NASA are not going to lose anything from it. They're going to be able to ride on his rockets to the space station. So here's a launch capability that may never, ever see the light of day.
More of these stories have more been covered at davidrennicki.com. Links up on our Facebook page now. And, of course, links to Apollo 11, The Untold Story, your very first e-book, David.
Yeah, going well. We get a lot of people like this one, too. And don't forget, we've got the Apollo 11 anniversary this year. It's an e-book called Apollo 11, The Untold Story. It's only $14. Go and have a look at it. It'll tell you what... It took a long time to put this together. There are 50 things in there that we didn't know about the moon landing. Some of those will raise the hair on the back of your neck. And some of the things that went wrong there that we weren't told. So that's an e-book. It's on my website. It could be on the second page when you go to the home page. Just go to the next page. But it is there, and it's worth a read. I love it. It's getting a good reaction, Bilko.
Overseas reaction as well?
Yeah, we are. Yeah, we're sending them all over the world.
Fantastic. All right, Dave, until next week, mate.